Picture an egg just sitting there. No one pays it much attention until one day the egg cracks open and out jumps a chicken. All the major magazines and newspapers jump on the event, writing feature stories. The transformation of egg to chicken. The remarkable revolution of the egg. Stunning turnaround at egg. As if the egg had undergone some overnight metamorphosis, radically altering itself into a chicken. But what does it look like from the chicken's point of view? It's a completely different story. While the world ignored this dormant-looking egg, the chicken was evolving, growing, developing, incubating. From the chicken's point of view, cracking the egg is simply one more step in a long chain of steps leading up to that moment. A big step, to be sure, but hardly the radical, single-step transformation it looks like to those watching from outside the egg. It's a silly analogy, granted, but I'm using it to highlight a very important finding from our research. We kept thinking that we'd find the one big thing, the miracle moment that defined breakthrough. We even pushed for it in our interviews. But the good to great executives simply could not pinpoint a single key event or moment in time that exemplified the transition. Frequently, they chafed against the whole idea of allocating points and prioritizing factors. In every good to great company, at least one of the interviewees gave an unprompted admonishment, saying something along the lines of, "Look, you can't dissect this thing into a series of nice little boxes and factors, or identify the moment of aha or the one big thing. It was a whole bunch of interlocking pieces that built one upon another." Even in the most dramatic case in our study, Kimberly Clark selling the mills, the executives described an organic, cumulative process. "Darwin did not change the direction of the company overnight," said one Kimberly Clark executive. "He evolved it over time." "The transition wasn't like night and day," said another. "It was gradual, and I don't think it was entirely clear to everybody until a few years into it." Of course, selling the mills was a gigantic push on the flywheel, but it was only one push. After selling the mills, the full transformation into the number one paper-based consumer products company required thousands of additional pushes on the flywheel, big and small, accumulated one on top of another. It took years to gain enough momentum for the press to openly herald Kimberly Clark's shift from good to great. Forbes wrote, "When Kimberly Clark decided to go head-to-head against P&G, this magazine predicted disaster. What a dumb idea. As it turns out, it wasn't a dumb idea. It was a smart idea." The amount of time between the two Forbes articles? 21 years. While working on the project, we made a habit of asking executives who visited our research laboratory what they would want to know from the research. One CEO asked, "What did they call what they were doing? Did they have a name for it? How did they talk about it at the time?" It's a great question, and we went back to look. The astounding answer, they didn't call it anything. The good-to-great companies had no name for their transformations. There was no launch event, no tagline, no programmatic feel whatsoever. Some executives said that they weren't even aware that a major transformation was underway until they were well into it. It was often more obvious to them after the fact than at the time. Then it began to dawn on us. There was no miracle moment. Although it may have looked like a single-stroke breakthrough to those peering in from the outside, it was anything but that to people experiencing the transformation from within. Rather, it was a quiet, deliberate process of figuring out what needed to be done to create the best future results, and then simply taking those steps, one after the other, turn by turn of the flywheel. After pushing on that flywheel in a consistent direction over an extended period of time, they'd inevitably hit a point of breakthrough.